The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not lead them through the land of the Philistines, the land of Plishtim Ki Korofu, because it was very close. Lest, when they see war, when they'll be confronted by other nations, they'll say, let us return to Egypt. So Hashem took them in a roundabout way through the desert of the Red Sea, and they went up armed. And Moshe took with him the remains of Yosef. Vayikach Moshe es atmos Yosef imoy, and Moshe took with him the remains of Yosef. Ki ashbeh hishbias b'nei Yisrael emor, because Yosef had made the children of Israel take a shvuah, an oath, saying, Pokod yivkeid elekim eschem, Hashem will remember you, and he will come to you, v'alisem es atzmos, and he will take you out of Egypt, v'alisem es atzmos imizeh itchem, and when he does that, so you shall also take up my remains, my bones, with you also. By Yisum Isukais, the Yachnu Veisom Bikse Amidbor, and they went from the Sukais, from the city called Sukais, and they camped in the desert. By Shem Helech Lifnehem Yemon Beamud Onon Lanchesem Aderech, and Hashem went in front of them with a cloud to light up the way during the day. By Laila Bamud Eish, and at night with a pillar of fire. Lo Hoyel Lehem Lo Leches Yemam Velaila, in order that they were able to go both during the day and the night. Lo Yomish Amud Haanon Yemam Vamud Eish Loila Lifnei Haom. The cloud pillar or the pillar of fire, it did not cease from them at all. Then the Torah tells us that Hashem said that they should go backwards, and Paray will say that they are lost. V'chizakti eslev Paray, and I will harden the heart of Paray. Roda v'achareihem, and he will go after you. V'ikovdu v'farei v'chol chelai, and I will take glory and honor from the destruction of Paray and all of his strength. V'yodu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem, and Mitzrayim will know that I am the Lord. V'yasuchein, v'yugad lemelech Mitzrayim ki vorach ha'om. And it was told to the king of Egypt that the nation ran away. And Paray's heart was turned. What is this that we have done, that we have sent Israel away from their slavery? So he himself harnessed his chariot and he took his nation with him. Took 600 chosen chariots, v'chol rechav Mitzrayim, and all of the remaining chariots of Egypt, v'shol ishishim al kula, each one armed, each one with a captain, v'yechazek Hashem eslev Paray melech Mitzrayim, and Hashem hardened the heart of Paray, the king of Egypt, v'yedeich achrei b'nei Yisrael, and they pursued the children of Israel, v'nei Yisrael yetzim b'yod Ramah, and the children of Israel went out with a mighty and open hand. Then the Torah continues to tell us how they came to the sea, and they were closed in from the sea and from the desert. And Hashem told them to go into the sea, and there was the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea. And then the Egyptians followed. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to take his staff and wave it above the sea, and the waters returned, and Paray and his nation were destroyed. We learned last week that it was on the 15th of Nisan at night when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came through Egypt at midnight and he smited the firstborn. And then Paray awoke and he went through the city looking for Moshe and looking for Aaron and told the people they must leave, go, like you said. And at that time, the Gemara tells us, the Gemara in Masechta Brachos Daf Tes, that was the Geula, this was the redemption. At that moment, they became free men. But they didn't go, Because Moshe told Paray, firstly, v'chi ganovim anachnu, are we thieves that we have to leave in the middle of the night? We'll leave in broad daylight. And secondly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, commanded them, l'seitzu ish mipesach beisei ad beker, that night no one was supposed to go out of his house. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending through the Malach HaMoves, the angel of death, to smite all of the firstborn. So therefore they did not leave that night, although the redemption came forth at that night. Next morning, they went out. They left Mitzrayim, and that's where this pasuk begins, Vayihi b'shalach Paray Zohom, when Paray sent forth the nation. And then, in pasuk Hey, where we read that it was told to the king of Egypt that the nation had fled, so Rashi tells us, Ikturian sholach imohem. Paray sent scouts to go with the Hebrews as they left. Because originally they had asked to go out into the desert for 3 days to serve Hashem. And when the 3 days were up and the scouts saw that the Hebrews were not, they had no intention of returning, so they returned to Egypt. And they told Paray this, that the Hebrews have left, they're not coming back. It took them a day to return, so they returned on the fourth day. So Paray harnessed his chariot together with his men, and they went in hot pursuit. And on the fifth and the sixth day, they pursued them, and they caught up with them. Lil Shvi Yodaleyam. The eve of the seventh day is when Klal Yisrael went into the sea and Paray followed, and the entire night HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a wind to blow the waters back. In the morning he brought the waters back le'esono, to the original place, and it destroyed Paray and his nation. And in the morning they sang Shira. They sang Ozio Shir Meshu V'nei Yisrael Es Ashira Hazos. Klal Yisrael sang the song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was Shachris. B'Shachris Omru Shira, Rashi brings. He brings this from the Mechilta and from Masechta Seita. V'hu Yom Shvi Shel Pesach, and this was the seventh day of Pesach. L'chein Onu Keirin Ashira B'Yom Ashvi. Therefore, Rashi tells us, this is why that we read the Shira from the Sefer Torah on the seventh day of Pesach. So we see that the night of Pesach is when the redemption started. They went out the first day of Pesach, and for 7 days they traveled, and on the seventh day they crossed the sea, they sang Shira, and Paray and his nation were destroyed. It is for this reason that Pesach is 7 days. And it is for this reason that the Maral writes in the Sefer Gvuras Hashem that we find that the mitzvah of matzah is just the first night. We are obligated to eat matzah only the first night. The same thing with the Korban Pesach, the sacrifice, was just the first night. In Chutz Loretz, in the Golus, so matzah is a mitzvah 2 nights. But according to the Torah and in Eretz Yisrael, just 1 night. But still we find that Pesach goes for 7 days, according to the Torah, 8 days in the Golus. And the Isur Chometz and the prohibition of Chometz is for 7 days. Because there were 2 stages. One is the actual redemption. The actual redemption was 1 night. They became free from Paray on that night. He said, go, you're free men. But still, they were not out of danger until Paray and his nation were destroyed. And that came only on the seventh day, together with the Kriya Shamsuf, the splitting of the sea. Therefore, Pesach is both 1 night, 1 day, and 7 days. Matz is the first night, and the prohibition of Chometz is the entire week. In the Psukim that we read, it states, Vayikach Moshe es Atzmos Yosef Imo. Moshe took the remains of Yosef with him. Now, what does this pasuk have to do with the going out of Egypt? Here the Torah is telling us that Pare freed the people, and they were leaving Egypt, and they were heading towards the sea. Why did the Torah find it so necessary to write here that Moshe took the remains of Yosef with him? It's true he did this, but this seems to be just one detail. Why does it take here such a major place? The Gemara in Masechta Seita, in Daf Yud Gimel, Gemara says, "Not le Meisha, ve'evia etzlei." Meisha went to seek the remains of Yosef. The Gemara tells us how. He took them. He went to look for it that night. Some opinions say that the bones were buried at the bottom of the Nile River. Other opinions, they were in a burial place reserved for the kings of Egypt. And Moshe went to seek it out. He found it, and he took it with him. During the entire time that Klal Yisrael was going through the desert, they carried with them, after the giving of the Torah, two areines, two arks. One had a dead person in it. This was Yosef, and the other had the Shechina in it. The other had the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his Sefer Torah in it. Mahalchin Zeim Zeh, they walked together. And when they would meet people in the desert, so people would ask, what is the meaning of these two arks? Echot Shel Meis Ve'echot Shel Shechina. And they said, one is a dead person, and one is the Shechina. One represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why do we find that a dead person is walking together, is being carried together with the Shechina? Omru, they said, Kaim zeh kol ma shekosuv bezeh. This one has fulfilled everything that is written in this one. Yosef fulfilled everything that was written in the Torah, which was placed in the other ark. So here, firstly, we see that the taking out of the remains of Yosef was not merely to fulfill the oath which Yosef made them take, which was true, but also that right together with the Sefer Torah that was given on Sinai, Yosef was carried together. And if they were in the lead of Klal Yisrael, and Yosef personified, represented everything that was written in the Torah. There's another Maimar Chazal that the Chazal tell us in the Medrash. It says in the Halal, Vayar Hashem Vayonos, Vayar Hayom Vayonos, that the sea gazed and it fled backwards. The Medrash asks, Maro Hayom Bayonos, what did the sea gaze at that made it flee backwards? Halavot says, Vayar Hayom. Doesn't say merely that the waters were split, but that the waters saw something. So what did they see that made them flee back? Areini Shel Yosef. They saw the casket of Yosef being carried by Moshe Rabbeinu in the lead of Klal Yisrael. When it saw this, it fled backwards. The Medrash says, how do you know? It says that the sea gazed at something, saw something, became frightened and fled backwards. How do you know it was Areini Shel Yosef, the casket of Yosef? So the Medrash says, because it uses the word Vayonos. It fled backwards. And this word, the same word, is used not once, but four times by Yosef HaTzadik, by Yosef. If If you look in Parshas, in Parshas Vayeshev, Parshas Vayeshev, Bereishis Lamites, Parshas Vayeshev, Bereishis Lamites. Vayhi kedabra al Yosef yom yom, veleishama eleha lishka vetzlo liyesimo. Yosef was working for his master, Potiphar. And Ashes Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar, took great attraction to Yosef and tried to seduce him. And she was not successful. And then one day Yosef came into the house, and there was no one else in the house. But his peseo bevigdei lemor shichva imi, and she took a hold of his garment and she said, "Lay with me." Yosef left the garment in her hand, vayonos, and he fled and went outside. So this word, which is used, vayar hayom vayonos, that the sea gazed and it fled, this is the same word that's used by Yosef, that Yosef fled. And four times the Torah uses this word. When she saw that he left his garment in her hand and he fled outside, so she called quickly to the people of her house and she said, You have brought to me a Hebrew, to sport with me. He came to sport with me. And I called out in a great voice, and when I called out and he ran. He left the garment and he ran outside. So a third time, Vayonas Achutza. Vatanach Bigdei Atzlo Adboya Adonav El Beisai. And she kept the garment until her husband came home. And she told him all of this. And she said, and she said that when I raised my voice to scream, he left his garment with me, and he fled outside. So this word is not only used once by Yosef, it's used four times, vayones hachutza, that he fled. So therefore, when it says, vayar hayom vayonos, that the sea gazed and saw and fled, and the Gemara wants to know what did the sea that made it flee? So the Medrash says, it saw Arena Shal Yosef, the casket of Yosef. How do we know this? Because this same word, Vayonos, that he fled, is used by Yosef repeatedly. So we see from here that this was not just merely a detail that Moshe took Yosef out with him, but this had an integral part of the Yetzir of the Exodus. Yosef was to go in front of Klal Yisrael together with the Arayin of the Sefer Torah, together with the Ark of the Sefer Torah, the entire 40 years, as a symbol, Kayim Zeh Mashikosel Bezeh, that this one has fulfilled what is written in this one. And Yosef was the one who would frighten the waters of the sea away. The Medrash continues by saying, Mikan shebeschus Yosef nifku amayim, that from here we see that it was through the merit of Yosef that the waters were split. So it was not merely by chance or coincidence or just a detail. This had an integral part of the Yitzhak of the Exodus. And that's why the Torah tells us right here, as they went out, Moshe took the Atzmei Yosef, the remains of Yosef, with him. Now, what does this mean? We've learned in the past sedras, and we've mentioned some of these principles several times, that Yosef was a leader in Klal Yisrael. He was not merely one of the brothers, but he was a leader. Yosef was the Ben Zikunov He was the favorite son of Yaakov. And Yaakov was grooming him to become the Melech, the king. The Medrash tells us that he resembled Yaakov Avinu. And this was of special significance because Yaakov, the Medrash tells us, the Gemara tells us, Shufra de Yaakov, or Shufra Keshufra, or the Marishan, Yaakov Avinu resembled the first man. And the face of Yaakov was shooed out into the Kiseh HaKovod, into the throne of the Almighty. So if Yosef resembled Yaakov, this was very significant. And all of the Torah that Yaakov studied by Shem Ve'Ever, he taught to Yosef. And Kol Ma She'ira LeYaakov Ira LeYosef, whatever was going to happen to Yaakov, happened to Yosef. Yaakov was hated by his brother Esav. Yosef was hated by his brethren. Yaakov had to flee from his brother. Yosef had to flee. And the Medrash goes through many things. And this means a lot because Yaakov was Klal Yisrael. Israel was Yaakov. We are called by his name, Yisrael. And it was from Yaakov who came down to Egypt, Shivim Nefesh, 70 people. It says, Ishu Beisoy. This was Yaakov and his household. And from here came forth Klal Yisrael. So all of this, which was to come from the great Yaakov, the great Jacob, this was all personified also in Yosef. And we find further that it was Yosef who was to lead Klal Yisrael into the Golos, into the exile. Because Yosef was the first one to go to Egypt. But Yosef Hurad Mitzrayim. Yosef was sent down to Egypt. He was sold by his brothers. He was the first one to go. And it wasn't by coincidence. Because the Chazal tell us that we mentioned in the past weeks that this was part of the plan. This is part of the deep plan of the Almighty. But since he told Avraham Avinu that your children will be enslaved for 400 years in Egypt, now how was he to bring them down to Egypt? Would he bring Yaakov Avinu in chains? Heaven forbid. So how was he to bring them down? So the Medrash tells us that if someone has a cow that he wants to bring to the slaughterhouse, and the cow refuses to go, he takes the calf, leads it in front of the cow, and the cow follows. Kachosa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. He sent Yosef down to Egypt. And Yaakov had to follow. Later on, when Yaakov learned that Yosef was in Egypt, he said, I must go down there to see my son. So we see that Yosef led Klal Yisrael into the Golus. And just as he was to lead them into the Golus, he was also to lead them out of the Golus. Just as he led them into enslavement, he was to lead them into freedom. And therefore, Moshe had to take the Atzmei Shesef. He had to take the remains of Yosef with him. This was a Tanai, this was a condition in the Shichrur, in the freedom. And we see further that Yosef, while in Egypt, became a slave. When he was sold there, he became a slave in the house of Potiphar. And then from there, he was thrown into the dungeon. So, everything was fulfilled in Yosef that was promised to Avraham Avinu that would be fulfilled in Klal Yisrael. To Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that, Ger Yezaracha, that your seed will be strangers in an alien land. This happened to Yosef. Vavodum, and they will be enslaved. Ve'inu osam, and they will be afflicted. This all happened to Yosef first. And then later it happened to the rest of Israel. And then the HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham, but they would not stay like that. Eventually they will overthrow their oppressors. They will rule over their oppressors. and they will be yetzei berechush gadol, they will go out with a mighty wealth. This first happened in Yosef. Yosef from the dungeon, they took him out of the boil from the dungeon and they brought him to the king. And he became the ruler v'chiyumeshul b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, he became the ruler over Egypt. And not only to become a ruler over Egypt, he became a ruler over Paroi. Because Paroi had to listen to him. Because Paroi knew, Ein chochem v'novein kamehu, there is no one so wise as you. And he saw that the Almighty was with him. And further, Yosef became the ruler not only over all of Egypt, but all of the wealth of Egypt also. He had gathered up all of the wealth. And this wealth did not remain with Paroi. Because the Chazal tell us that in this week's Parsha, after the destruction of Egypt, Klal Yisrael went and gathered up all of the wealth that Paroi and his men took to war with them. When they went to war, they ornamented their horses and their chariots with gold and silver and precious stones and precious armor and so forth. And the fact is, they were gathering up so much wealth that the Torah tells us right after the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Torah says, Vayaseh Moshe es Yisrael mi Yamsuf. Moshe had to force the people. Vayasa, not Vayisa, not that they journeyed, but Moshe had to force the people to journey away from the Red Sea. Why? So Rashi tells us from the Mechilta, he saw in Bal Kochem she'otru Mitzrayim suseyem betachshit ezor v'kesev avonim tevesh. Because Egypt ornamented their horses with beautiful gold and silver and beautiful stones. V'ho Yisrael meitzina yisam b'yam. And Yisrael were bringing them out of the sea. U'gedei lo ha'yesa b'zis hayam b'zis Mitzrayim. Sh'ne'amar to rezov nasa l'chom nekudas kesev. And the spoils of the sea was greater than the spoil of Egypt that they took out of Egypt. And therefore, l'fichoch utztach la'asin bal kochem, and therefore they didn't want to leave. And Moshe had to force them to travel. The question is asked, where did Paroi get all of this wealth to take to the sea with him? It already said before, Vayinatzules Mitzrayim, that during the Makas Cheshach, during the plague of the darkness, so every Jew then was able to see where each Egyptian concealed his wealth. And Hashem said, Daber no bi'oznei, please speak to the ears of Israel and tell them that they must go out with a rechush gadol, with great wealth. Because I don't want Avraham to say that I fulfilled the promise that I would enslave and afflict them. But the promise that they would go out with great wealth, I did not fulfill. Vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim, and they emptied out Egypt. So where did Paroi get all of this wealth? So in this, the Targum Yonasan tells us that Paroi went to his most secret vaults and he opened them up, and there was the treasures of Yosef HaTzadik. There was the treasure that Yosef had collected and gathered when he sold wheat to all of the nations and to all of the Egyptians. It says he put it into the vaults of Paroi. And he used this to help persuade the people to pursue after the Hebrews. So we see that Yosef ruled not over only over Egypt, but also over all of their wealth. And that wealth was to stay with him. Eventually that went with his children. And so it happened to Klal Yisrael. They came down to Egypt as they became slaves, and they were afflicted. And they were in a strange land. And eventually they overthrew Paroi and his nation. And his nation was destroyed. and they went out with great wealth. So Yosef was a leader in this. He led the way. He led the way into the Golus, into the exile, and he led the way into the Shichru. He led the way to the freedom. And therefore, he had to go first. Vayikach Meisha Satzmi Sheisef Imei. Meisha took the remains of Yosef with him. And this was part of the Vayi B'shalach Parei, part of the sending out, Parei sending out the people. Now, why is it this way? What was so special about Yosef? For this, to understand this, we have to understand what does it mean, Avdus. What does it mean for one to be enslaved? And what does it mean, Shichrur, Geula? What does it mean for one to be free? We're accustomed to thinking that enslavement or freedom, this is political enslavement and political freedom. It's true. This is very true, but this is only a small degree of what enslavement means or what freedom means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world. He created the Tzura and the Chaymer. He created the spirit and he created the body. And just like he created in the world in general, he created a whole world of animal life. He created man to be a ruler over this. Because man was imbued with the spirit. An animal is basically imbued with physical body. In the nations of the world also, we find that there is different degrees. There are different degrees of spirit in different nations. And different degrees of physical, so-called physical body in different nations. The Chazal tell us that Egypt was the epitome of the physical mass of the nations. Psorim kipsar chamerim. Their flesh is as the flesh of donkeys. And the donkey is called the chamor, and the word chamer means something, a physical mass, because he's the most sluggish and physical of all of the animals. He's very slow, doesn't like to move. Very heavy. And this is the epitome of Egypt. Egypt was a nation in which the physical powers of man manifested itself. And from there came about all of the abominations of Egypt. Like the Torah tells us, all of the Tuma and the Te'eva of Mitzrayim, that of adultery, or of incest, or of immorality, or of kishuf, of sorcery, or of human sacrifice. This was Egypt. Klal Yisrael, they were imbued with the spirit of the world. Just like man has a spirit. This in particular was given to Klal Yisrael. It came from Yaakov Avinu, from Avram Yitzchok, and then the perfection of Yaakov to his children. And the spirit is the contrary of the physical mass. The soul is not physical. And therefore, it is not peculiar to physical traits. Something that is physical is something that is very heavy and slow and lacks movement. For example, if you remove the spirit from the body and you'll have only a still mass, a physical body. There will be no movement, no life. If there is movement, this means there is life. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he created the different dimensions of the world, the different levels of the world, the first level was that of the earth, and the stone formation. That is what is known as a daimen, silent. There is no movement. There is no speaking. As the degrees of life increase, so do the degrees of movement and sound increase. Until we come to man himself, where he moves and he speaks. We find by Klal Yisrael that they were especially mentioned as individuals of great movement, of great life. For example, in Parsha Shemos, when Parai commanded the Hebrew midwives that when they're giving birth to the children, if it's a zohar or if it's a male, ba'amitin I say, they should kill them. Ba'tireno amyaldei says elakim, and the midwives feared Hashem and they didn't do what Parai said. Ba'yikro melech mitzrayim la'amyaldei ba'yem elehen madu asisen adover azeh. And Parai, when he demanded an explanation, ba'tayma no amyaldei sel Parai leika noshim amitzreis or ivriyais. So they answered that the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. Ki choyes heino. V'terem tove aleihen amyaledes v'yolodu. They are choyes. They are full of life. And before we come to them, they have already given birth. They give birth so speedily. And the Chazal Rashi brings, explains this. What does this mean? Meshulais lechayes hasoder. They are not compared to the animals, but they are compared to the wild game. She'enan srichais mialodais. They do not need midwives. The farm animals need the help of the shepherd to give birth. But the wild game, the wildlife does not. Because the farm animals are more physical, while the wild game has more spirit in them. And so were the women of Egypt. And then Rashi brings how when Yaakov gave them a brocha, so he blessed each one with the name of one of the highest hasodah. We also find a little later that when Moshe was hidden in the river and the daughter of Parai came to bathe and she found him and Miriam was standing by and Miriam said, I'll go fetch a woman to nurse the child. Vatelecho alma vatikres ema yelet. So vatelecho alma, she went, the alma went. So Rashi tells us, holcho bezrizus. She went with a great speed. Tzadikim kol ma'aseim bezrizus. The righteous, all of their acts are with a great speed. And with a great inspiration, with quickness. Zrizus, this speed, this the Gemara learns from Avraham Avinu. When Avraham was told to do something, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, early in the morning, he was up to do it. It's with a great inspiration and with a great speed. And this, the Chazal tell us, is not symbolic at all of the physical trait. Because the physical trait, the physical part in the human being, that's mevakesh anocho, that wants rest, that wants peace, that doesn't want to move. Because man was made, physical man was made from where? Min ha'adoma, from the earth. The earth does not move. The earth wants it to be quiet, silent, without moving. Zrizus, if we find that a person has life in him, if a person has exuberance in him, that comes from the spirit. Not from the chemer, not from the goof, but from the nefesh, from the tzura. And Klal Yisrael was exemplified with this more than any other nation. And this is in the nations of the world. And therefore, when Klal Yisrael were enslaved by a nation like Egypt, this was a complete contrary to the nature of the universe. Where you have the animalistic nation enslaving the spiritual nation. Where you had the goof, the body of the world, enslaving the soul of the world. And such a thing could not last forever. It had to break. It had to come to a point of an overthrow. Because a great spirit cannot be enslaved by a body. And the beginning of this overthrow came with Yosef HaTzadik. We find that in Parsha Shemos, in Posuk Hey, by he kol nefesh yetzei yerech Yaakov shivim nefesh, everyone that came down with Yaakov, altogether they were 70, v'Yosef oyo b'mitzroyim, and Yosef was in Egypt. So Rashi tells us, v'haloi hu abonav oyo b'chlal shivim ma'bol alamdeinu v'chilo ayinu yedim sho hu hayo b'mitzroyim. What does it mean that Yosef was in Egypt? Didn't we know that he was in Egypt? Ela lo hadiyacho tzikosi shel Yosef. The Torah here is telling us the righteousness of Yosef. Hu Yosef arei atzein oviv. This was the same Yosef that was the shepherd of his father's sheep. Hu Yosef shehoyah b'mitzrayim v'nasa melech. This is the same Yosef that was in Egypt and became a king. Ve'emed b'tzidkei. He remained in the same righteousness. Yosef remained unchanged. What does that mean? Yosef was the righteous son of Yaakov. He studied Torah with him. He looked like him. He inherited his wisdom. And he was brought up in the house of Yaakov Avinu. When he was 17 years old, he became a ger, an alien in a strange land. He was enslaved in the house of Potiphar. He became an eved. He was thrown into the dungeon. They called him Nar, a young boy, Eved, a slave, an Ivri, an alien, Me'eved Layam, Me'eved Anor, from the other side of the river. And Egypt was the epitome of Tumah, the epitome of impurity. Logically, he should have been crushed. Spiritually, he should have been crushed. Then from the dungeon, he went to the court of Pare. He became the most powerful man in Egypt. He became the wealthiest man in Egypt. And the viceroy to a great emperor, where all of the nations would come to buy grain from. There, he was confronted not with the trials and the tribulations of the dungeon, but the trials and the tribulations of the court of Pharaoh, which perhaps are even greater temptations, that of wealth, lust, of power, of fame. So logically, he should have been spiritually crushed. When Yaakov Avinu came down to see him, after all of their years of separation, Yaakov testified on him that this is O Yosef Beni Chai, this is Yosef my son. He is unchanged. Same Yosef that learned by me in my house in Eretz Yisrael, this is the same Yosef that's today the king of Egypt. And he went down when he was 17. He became the king 13 years later when he was 30. And he was a king for 7 good years and the 2 bad years, for 9 years, for 21 years. He was lost from his home, yet he was unchanged. And not only was he unchanged, but he gave birth to 2 sons. We always talk, how can you bring up children in such a place? Couldn't have been a worse place than the court of Pare. Gave birth to 2 sons, and Yaakov said, those sons are not yours, they're mine. Ki Reuven v'Shimon Yuli, they're the same as Reuven v'Shimon. They will be Shvotim, Yaakov Avinu said. They will be equal to my 12 sons. And they were. They were given separate sections in Eretz Yisrael when it came to divide the land. They were given each one a prince to represent themselves, and each one a degel, a flag formation in the marching. The fact is, he did even more than Yaakov Avinu. Yosef was in Mitzrayim, is the Yosef that was in the house of Yaakov Avinu. He stood by his righteousness. He did not flinch or move. Now what is this a symbol of? This is a symbol of the tremendous strength of the spirit overpowering the physical. The spirit, the soul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man, that's pure. Impurities that comes from the physical elements of man. The spirit can rule the physical to the point where the physical will serve the spirit. That we are instructed to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of our powers, with even the physical powers, or the physical can rule the spirit, where the spirit becomes the slave and the physical becomes the master. Yosef reached the highest heights of the spirit ruling the physical. This is Geula. This is what is meant by shichrul, by freedom. When we speak of freedom, we do not merely mean political freedom, but we mean the highest degrees of freedom, where man becomes free of himself. And this is what the Chazal tell us in the Mishnah Ovis, Ein lecho ben cherin ela misha eisig betorah, that the true free man is only one who learns Torah. Because only through the learning of Torah can he nourish the spirit to the point where the spirit will become the king. Otherwise, the spirit will become enslaved and the body will become the king. And when Yosef grew and grew, so then it was impossible for him to be crushed by Egypt, but just to the contrary. V'chi hu meishil b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. He has become the ruler over all of Egypt. And all of Egypt and all of their wealth. And Pare also had to answer to him. This was Yosef HaTzadik. This was the Geula. Yosef led the people into enslavement, into Golus, and he led the people out. This he inherited to his children. And we find the same thing happened with the children. Eventually they broke their chains and they ruled and destroyed their oppressors. When Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt on the night of Pesach, that was the beginning of the Geula, the beginning of the redemption. But it was not complete yet. As long as the threat of Pare was still in the world,
the redemption was not complete. And it's interesting to note that the final destruction of Paray came synonymously with the splitting of the Red Sea. What did the splitting of the Red Sea represent? That represented even a higher degree of freedom. Because the Chazal tell us, in the Torah it states, Vayiboku hamayim, Vayiboku hayam leinemar. Does not say that the sea split, it says that the waters split. Mikan shenifku kol mayim shebaolam. All of the waters of the world split at that time. All of the waters of the world split then. Why? Because waters were not allowed to stand in the way of my nation. Amzu go alto, amzu koniso. My nation I have redeemed. This nation I have acquired. No waters in the world have the right to obstruct them, have the right to oppose them. Klal Yisrael reached a degree of shichru, of freedom, where not only they became free from Egypt, and not only they became free from themselves, they became free from every physical power in the world. Where they rose to the heights that just like the spirit of man must rule over the physical man, so does the spirit of the Almighty, which is also in the Jew, rule over every physical force of the world. And if the sea was allowed to stop them, then this would be limiting the power of the spirit. And therefore, Vayiboku hamayim, kol mayim shebaolam. With the destruction of power of Paray came also complete freedom from all physical forces in the world. Whether they am Hashem, am Zukonisa, they're my nation. If they're my nation, then just as I rule over the universe, they also will rule over the universe. When they fulfill my word, they rise up to me, they also will be Bonimatem, they will be my sons, they will rule. And on that, the Chazal, the sages, wanted to know with what merit. Where did Yisrael have the merit where they could rise above all of the physical forces of the world? And on that, they said that in the hollow, it states, Vayar hayom vayonos, that the sea gazed, it saw something, it became afraid, and it fled. What did it see? Hareini shel Yosef, the casket of Yosef. Because we see that Yosef also fled by Yonos. Why did the sea become afraid of Yosef? What did it see in Yosef that made it flee? By Yosef it says he fled, where? By the wife of Potiphar, by Yonos Achutza. Greatest temptation that was placed in front of Yosef HaTzadik was that of the wife of Potiphar. He was a young boy. He was away from home. This was the Ashes Adonov. This was the wife of his master, royalty. She wanted him. The house was empty. Yosef was challenged. The Chazal say, Ro tsurose shel Yaakov Avinu. He saw the tsura. He saw the spirit of Yaakov Avinu. This spirit of Yosef, this came from Yaakov. When he saw the spirit of Yaakov Avinu, with a great gvura, with a great strength, he was meishel al atzma, he ruled himself. By Yonos Achutza, and he ran away. And when the sea saw that strength coming forth, it had to also flee. Because just like all of the physical forces were driven away by the spirit of Yosef, the physical forces within himself were driven away through his gigantic spirit, so were all the physical forces to be driven away from this gigantic spirit. And when the sea saw this casket of Yosef, it was Vayomas. It had to become subdued. They had to become an eved. They had to become a servant. And called Mayim Sheba Olam, all of the waters of the world. Mikan, from here we learn, the sages say, Shebeschus Yosef Nifku Ayam. It was through this chus. Yosef had inherited, had bequeathed this to the children. The children also went out with this power. And it was through this that the Yam was split. And Klal Yisrael went to Shichru. They went to freedom. So from here we learn what Egypt was, what Klal Yisrael is, what a man is, what a spirit is, and what a body is. What does it mean enslavement? And what does it mean freedom? He who will be enslaved to himself will become enslaved to others. He who rules over himself will become a ruler over others. Chazal tell us Yosef was Meshal Alatzma, ruled himself. He ruled Egypt. Freedom. That's Misha Esik B'Torah. That's with the power of Torah, with the power of the Spirit. And from here we see why the Torah tells us, right here, as Klal Yisrael was going out, Vayikach Meshe Satzme Yosef Imoy, that Meshe took the remains of Yosef with him. We should be zeicha to the Geula Shlema, and also this week, which is Shabbos Shira, to the Simcha of the great Shira, which took place at that time, and should take place again in our time, B'mehra B'mehra.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.